Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Well, hello, 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 and welcome to this segment of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. So happy to have you join us this evening. I'm Minister Vanessa Williams, and this is his Abounding Grace podcast. We have a monthly podcast every last Tuesday of the month. You can join us, but his Abounding Grace podcast. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is an awesome network founded years and years ago by Reverend Ray Rose. Here at this network, we expect people's lives to be changed in such a way that you would go out and make a difference in someone else's life. That's the bottom line. We're so excited and so blessed that you decided to join us this evening. You can set aside a few minutes, maybe 30 to 45 minutes, and just tune out and in distractions and just tune in. God has for you this evening. I believe that this will be a word of encouragement for you. Our prayer is that this message will encourage you to strengthen your relationship with God. And if you do not have a personal relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ, our prayer is that this message will convict you and touch your heart to want to know Jesus for yourself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, Lord. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God, because of who you are. Lord, you're awesome in all your ways, Father. And we just give you the honor, the glory, and the praise right now. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy, Lord God. Lord, we ask right now that we would decrease, Lord God, and that you would increase in us, Lord God, so that your word would go forth as you would have it go forth, Lord God. And as your word says, when word goes forth, it would never return unto you void. It would go out and accomplish that which you have a purpose for it to accomplish. So, Lord God, we ask right now that people would be able to tune in, Lord God, and remove any distractions, Lord God. Just open up their hearts and minds to hear from you today, Lord God, so that they will be encouraged to keep on keeping on, Lord. We thank you, Father, because you are so, so awesome. We wouldn't have all the words to adequately express our gratitude and our just because of who you are, Father. We love you, Lord God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for using this network, Father, to get your word. And we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise because you and you alone are worthy to be praised. Well, praise God. Amen. Tonight's message, tonight's topic is, if not for grace, if not for grace. And our main scripture will be coming out of Romans, the 5th chapter and the 20th verse. I'll just read it now, but we'll go into it more detail later. Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That if sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness until eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. By Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, his amazing grace is such a marvelous gift. And sometimes we take it for granted. You know, it's because of his grace that second chances exist. It is because of his grace that we are not consumed. It is because of his grace that the enemy is already defeated. So whatever you may be going through right now, I've heard so many this past week, so many people that are suffering or grieving from loss in their families or illnesses or what have you. Whatever you're going through right now, just know that God is still in control, that he is still in control, and you are still covered by his grace. But you know, grace sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, we sometimes take it for granted. Instead of using his grace as an opportunity to continue to sin, God forbid, as Paul says in Romans 6:1, we should be continually praising God that through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, grace did much more abound. I want you to see if you can identify with this scenario. Just stay with me for a minute. Just stay with me for a minute. I'm going to paint a picture, okay? You go to bed at night thinking about what you plan to do in the morning, not thinking about grace. You wake up in the morning thinking about what you plan to do during the day, not thinking about grace. Perhaps you get a hurried breakfast. Maybe you take the time to say a quick prayer over your food. Maybe you don't. But not really thinking about what you are saying and, most importantly, who you're praying to, not thinking about grace. So if you're working, you rush off to work. Perhaps you're driving to work. You run through that caution light, not paying attention to what's going on around you, but grace covered you. You sat next to that person on the train. Maybe you ride the commuter train, and you are not sensitive to his Holy Spirit guiding you, telling you this moment right here, seize this opportunity and share my love with this person. Because, see, God knows us all. He knows who's going through what, when they're going through. But you're so caught up, we're so caught up in our own stuff, our own plans, our own agenda, we don't take the time to listen to the sweet presence of his voice, not even thinking about grace. So you go through the day, do what you do, meetings, projects, complaining, taking phone calls, complaining, getting caught up in the gossip of the day, complaining, continually looking for ways to get out of doing stuff, complaining, not even thinking about grace, not even thinking about if it wasn't for his grace, you wouldn't be here. Your day, your work day is coming to a close. Are you still imagining this? It's time to go home. Nighttime's coming. A day has passed. You woke up, you got dressed, you ate, you drove to work, you spent the day doing this or that. You came home, a whole day passed, and you get ready to do it all over again. And guess what? Don't even think about his grace. If not for grace, not even thinking about if it wasn't for his grace, you would have no hope. You would not have a bright future. Not even thinking about the sacrifice he made so that you would have eternal life. I want to ask you a question. What is the difference between mercy and grace? What is the biblical difference between mercy and grace? You see, mercy and grace are two important terms, Christian terms, whose meanings we often misunderstand. In short, and I'll say this, I'll try to remember to say this a couple of times so you get it, if you don't already know, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. So what is grace? Grace is God giving us something we do not deserve. Let me say that again. Mercy, God not giving us what we deserve. Grace, God giving us something that we do not deserve. See if you can see the difference here in this courtroom scenario I want to paint. Imagine this. You walk into a courtroom to receive sentencing. You know what you've done. You know you ran that light. You know you didn't pay those parking tickets. You know you owe back taxes, whatever. You know you did that awful thing. And you know you deserve whatever punishment is coming your way. Imagine someone comes in and speaks to the judge, and they tell the judge that he would pay your ticket, that he would pay your fine. He would even take your punishment, serve your time. He would cover you. Unmerited favor, that's grace. Undeserving favor, that's grace. And the judge looks at him. The judge looks at you. The judge stares back and forth between him and you. And then the judge finally looks at you and says, you're free to go. That's mercy. You walk out a free man all because of his grace and his mercy. that you even look back. Mercy, God not giving us what we do deserve. Grace is God giving us something we do not deserve. Grace covered you. Grace paid your cost. Grace took your place. Grace paid it all. Mercy allowed grace to take your place. Mercy freed you and allowed you to walk out a free man or a free woman. That's grace and mercy. If it wasn't for grace, unmerited favor, undeserved, that's what God did for us, brothers and sisters. He gave us mercy when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. Jesus did it just for us. He who knew no sin took on the sins of the world, all because of grace, unmerited favor, undeserved favor extended towards us. Romans 5:20, moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. We were guilty. We were guilty. But where sin abounded, his grace covers us. You know, as I said before, sometimes I think we use the term grace very loosely. I believe we don't often take the time to truly evaluate what it means, what it covers, how we use it, how we take advantage of it, how we make excuses because of it. One writer suggested grace is the empowering presence of God, enabling you to be who he created you to be and to do what he has called you to do. Another writer suggested that grace gives us the desire and the power that God gives us to do his will. Both of these definitions make good sense of the word grace as it's used throughout the Bible. The empowering presence of God. In your spirit, are you allowing the presence of God to all that he has created you to be? In your spirit, are you allowing the presence of God to prepare you to do what he has called you to do? In your mind, do you see his grace giving you the desire to do his will? Or do you see his grace giving you an excuse not to do his will? Grace. Are you using it for your own selfish desires, or are you thankful and looking for opportunities to show God just how thankful you are? Grace, nothing we do or don't do earns us grace. We can't work for it. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. It's already paid. Romans 11:6 says, it is by grace. It is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if be of works, no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, you can't work for grace. No amount of money can pay for grace because Jesus paid it all. When he hung on that old rugged cross, he paid it all. Ephesians 2nd chapter 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace, unmerited favor from God. Because of his faithfulness, because of his kindness, because of his mercy, because of him. It's an article that I read years ago, and I want to reread it. It came from the Daily Bread, and it's dated back in October 2012. The author's name, Randy Kilgore. The chapter, the scripture he used was Matthew, the 20th chapter. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? And I'm reading the Daily Bread's message for that day. The author says, I met a man who was absolutely convinced that God couldn't forgive him for the things he had done. So an older man took him under his wings. And a year later, I was delighted that the younger man had not only accepted Jesus as his Savior, but was also consuming Scripture ravenously. He was so excited about learning about the Lord. 3 years later, however, when I talked to this young man, I noticed that his enthusiasm had been replaced by grumbling. I just don't understand, he says, how God can let evil people prosper while so many of his children, including himself, he might have added, are struggling to make ends meet. The grumbling ate at the joy of his faith. The grumbling ate at the joy of his faith. You see, like so many of us, this man had forgotten how much he had needed Christ's grace. Think back, if you're saved, think back to the moment you accepted Christ. Think back to that thrill, that joy you had when deep down on the inside. when you knew that all had been forgiven and that you had a new life, a brand new life, and the one day you could look forward to spending eternity in heaven. Do you remember that day, that moment, and how you felt? But then stuff gets in the way. Life got in the way. So where are you now? Where are you in Christ now? Do you think about that? Do you still have that zeal to do for him regardless of what other people say? Do you still have that joy deep down on the inside, that joy that no man can take away? Do you still have that faith that says now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen? Do you still have that drive to keep on running? Keep on running, as the older people would say, and see what the end's going to be. Do you? Think about that for a minute. You know, God owes us nothing. He freely gives us the salvation he promised when we accept Christ. He then adds to his generosity by sending his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to help us in this life as we prepare for the joy of eternity with him. The joy of eternity with him. God didn't just send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. Jesus just wasn't resurrected and now is seated on the right hand of God making intercession for us. Jesus, before he left this earth, he says, I leave you a comforter. He left us someone who would be with us, to guide us, to comfort us, to never, never leave us. Jesus knew, he said he was going away because he had to go away to prepare a place for us. But he said, I don't leave you alone. I leave you, my spirit with you, my spirit to guide you. Do we think about that during the day when you're going through stuff, that his spirit is with you always? If not for grace, we'd be lost. Let's go over to the Old Testament. The Bible gives us so many illustrations of what would happen if not for grace. I want to think about the story of Noah's Ark. The story of Noah's Ark lets us know that if it wasn't for grace, we would be drowning in our own self-righteousness. For just as it was in the days of Noah, people were doing all manner of evil against each other. When Noah tried to warn them of the consequences of their sin, they just laughed at him. Genesis, the 6th chapter, 5th through the 8th verse says, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. The 8th verse, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Aren't you glad you found grace in the eyes of the Lord? If not for grace, where would you be? In the New Testament, let's take a look at a passage of Scripture that talks about hypocrisy. You know, saying one thing yet doing another. This couple we're going to read about a little bit had a lying spirit. I thank God for grace that we are living in the dispensation of grace today. In the Acts chapter 5, verses 5. Acts 5, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also been privy to it and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. 3rd verse. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Why it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived of this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied to man, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. The young men rise, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, she didn't know what had happened to her husband, she came in. And Peter asked unto her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together, talking about she and her husband, to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, The feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. You see, Ananias and his wife had conspired to lie about how much money they had received for the sale of their property. Who asked them to sell it? Who asked them to give all their money to the church? Why did they feel like they had to deceive men? Because their hearts were not right. How many know that if your heart isn't right, God doesn't receive your gift anyway? Well, we're talking about grace. We're talking about if not for grace. And as I said earlier, thank God we live in the period of grace. Because if we didn't, if we make one mistake, we would be doomed. We would be doomed. For Adam couldn't do, but Jesus came into the world and covered a multitude of sins. Jesus covered us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, if not for grace. Do we take advantage of the grace that is given to us? Do we take it for granted? Because of his love, do we think that we should continue to do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it? I'm talking to Christians now. When you are truly sincere about following Christ, you would not desire to continue to do those things that please the flesh. Just because you are not under the law now, but under the dispensation of grace, does that mean you should practice sin? Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall have no dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sixth verse of Romans 6 says, but what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in sin? Romans 6:15, for then shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. You see, you'll miss it sometimes, but that's the growing process. We all miss it sometimes, but don't stay there. Don't stay there. Don't use grace as an opportunity to continue to sin. Don't look at grace as an excuse to keep on sinning. But because of his grace, because of his love, because he loved us so much, we should desire to do those things that pleases the Father. We should desire to do those things that draw us closer to him, not those things that will separate us from him. Do you oftentimes find yourself desiring to testify about how grace found you, or are you moved by the worldly possession and desire? What do you consider your priorities? Acts, the 20th chapter and the 24th verse says, but none of these things move me, Paul says. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have with Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God, if not for grace. Repentance, true repentance will bring about restoration. True repentance. Jesus tells us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. If not for grace, we couldn't have complete confidence that we could rest in him. We could not have complete confidence that we could rest in him. We need to recognize what grace does for us. The grace will cause us to have a heart towards holiness. Is that your desire? Is it your desire to have a heart towards holiness? Hebrews, the 12th chapter, says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We should lay aside every weight and every sin, anything that we allow to get in the way of us being close to God. We're talking about having a heart towards holiness. Lest we forget what he did for us, a heart towards holiness. That should be our desire, a grateful heart, a heart towards Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, a joyful heart, a joyful heart. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You see, I believe he saw my face. when he was on that cross. I believe he saw your face when he was on that cross. He didn't have to do it, but I'm so thankful that he stayed the course. He stayed the course, and because he did, we're covered under grace. You see, sometimes, just sometimes, in the midst of life, in the midst of circumstances, in the midst of our trials and our storms, something happens. We get tired. Jesus knew we would, and he knows we need a refreshing. And that's why he tells us to come to him. We need to be reminded of the power of God and what he is able to do in spite of the situation. We need to reflect back on where we were when grace found us. Broken down, hearts heavy, confused, disappointed, disillusioned with life, not willing to trust anybody. I want you to close your eyes for a minute, if you are able to, and think about where you were when grace found you, where you were when you said, Lord, I don't want to run anymore. Where were you? Do you remember that moment? Do you remember that moment when grace found you? Think about that courtroom. You can open your eyes. Think about the courtroom we talked about earlier. When you walked into that courtroom, your head was down. You couldn't see the bright future. It was dark and dreary. But when you walked out, everything looked brand new. Did you even look back and thank him for another chance, for another opportunity to get it right? Did grace leave you where it found you? No, of course it did not. If not for grace, where would we be? Grace allowed us to get up, brush ourselves, can do anything. We can rely on those scriptures. We can quote those scriptures. We can live those scriptures that says, greater is he that's in me than he who is in the world. We can do this. We can say, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. We can do this. We can say without a shadow of a doubt that I won't be moved by what I see. I won't be moved by what I hear. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. We can be led by the Spirit of God, as Romans 8 tells us to do. We can be transformed by a renewed mind. We know we need to renew our minds daily, amen. We need to do that. When you're sick in your body, when you don't feel well, just remember the cross. Remember the stripes that he took. By his stripes, we were healed, and stand firm on your healing. Just know you are a child of God. Because you are a child of God, you have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And that's why Jesus said you can cast all your cares upon him. Speaking of the mind, you can bring every thought into captivity. Be careful what you allow to be planted in the garden of your mind. Be careful. Be careful. Because of grace, we need to remind ourselves to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And then we need to run with patience the race that is set before us. So, as a new day approaches, instead of rushing head on to that day, pause. Take a deep breath and think about his grace. Take a deep breath and thank him because of who he is. Reflect on Psalms 103, which says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he and not we ourselves. Recognize, acknowledge, give glory to God for allowing you to see another day. Don't be so anxious about things. Live every day as if you just came out of the courtroom and been set free through his grace and his mercy. Meditate on his word throughout the day and let nothing get in the way of remembering your first love. Remember how you felt when you first believed. Remember how you felt when grace found you. And then share the good news that Jesus is alive and well. Remember that grace is a gift, a covering to live for Jesus. Grace is a protection in the midst of everything evil. Grace is a shelter from the storms of life. Remember, my brother and sister, that God was so merciful towards us that he extended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. He didn't wait for us to get it right. He knew we would never get it right. So he loved us in spite of our evil ways. Jesus loved us through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. God gave us grace. Grace, for if it were not for grace, there would not be his amazing grace. If not for grace, I'd still be wallowing in my sins. If not for grace, I'd be like a lost sheep trying to find my way home. What about you? Think about that for a minute. Just think about it. If not for grace, because they have the assurance deep down on the inside that whatever comes, we're not going to give up. If not for grace, you would not have that peace way down on the inside, that peace that surpasses all understanding. If not for grace, Daniel would have been destroyed in the lion's den. If not for grace, the heat wouldn't have been taken out of the fire when the three Hebrew boys were in there. If not for grace, we will all be lost and spend eternity in hell, burning forever and ever. Let us not get so caught up in this world and so much stuff is going on in this world. Let us not get caught up in it so much so that we don't take the time to acknowledge just how amazing his grace is. Let us not get so caught up in this world that we allow a night to pass without thanking him for his saving grace throughout that day. Let us not get caught up in this world that we forget about Matthew 6:33, where the Bible instructs us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things will be added. Caught up in this world that we forget about reaching back and helping a brother or sister by sharing God's love. Let us not get so caught up in this world that we simply live the words of the amazing song, Amazing Grace. This song was penned by a former slave trader named John Newton. John Newton, who nearly died in a shipwreck, he eventually gave his life to Christ and became a minister. But he penned the famous words to the song, Amazing Grace, for a sermon for his 1773 New Year's service at the Church of St. Peter and St. Paul. Despite his background, despite all that he had done, all the terrible things he had done, John Newton experienced receiving God's grace and his mercy. Just listen to the lyrics of this song, the lyrics which he wrote. Imagine, if you will. I oftentimes like my mind to go off and imagine things. And I imagine John Newton, when he was writing these words, as the ship was tossed and turned, he said, Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. He went on to say, but through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Amazing grace is what I've been talking about this evening. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought my liberty. It was grace that brought your liberty. I do not know just why he came and loved me so, but I thank God he did. I thank God he looked beyond my faults and he saw a need. What about you? He looked beyond your faults and he saw a need. His amazing grace has covered us yesterday, covers us today, said he'd be with us always, even to the ends of time. My God, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not, but I'm so thankful that he changes the hearts and minds of people. Thank God for his amazing grace. Now I'm going to be closing in a little bit, but I must say, if you have not given your life over to Christ, you won't understand much of what I've shared tonight. Maybe much of what I've said might seem foreign to you. But Matthew 6:33 is alive and well, as I said earlier. Matthew 6:33 says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So not only that, your eternal life would not be with Jesus. If you have not accepted him as your Savior, talking about Jesus Christ, if you have not repented of your sins, then you would not spend eternity with Jesus. I'm not trying to scare you. These are facts. I'm not trying to plant fear in your heart. These are facts. So right now, my brother, right now, my sister, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I beg you to continue listening very carefully. But Romans 6:33 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation, the 20th chapter, the 14th and the 15th verse says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Romans 10:9 says, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him, that's talking about Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So what do we need to do here? We need to admit that you are a sinner. From Romans 3:10, so it says, for as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not me. That means you need to be willing to repent, to turn from your sin. You need to believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see, it's not enough just to say it. God knows your heart. Man can hear what you're saying out your mouth, but only God knows your heart if you're sincere. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's Romans 10:10. So through prayer right now, you can invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. For Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So glad I am a whosoever. What about you? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I have a prayer that you can repeat after me. If you've not accepted him as your Savior, from your heart, be sincere. So just repeat this after me. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin. I now invite Christ to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. That's it. Did you do that? Were you sincere when you said that? Then guess what? You've just stepped over into a brand new life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you just trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, you've just begun a brand new life in Christ. So now what do you need to do, you might be asking? Make sure you got a good Bible where you can read it every day to get to know Jesus better. He wants to get to know you. So talk with him. Don't try to use fancy words. Don't worry about fancy words when you talk to him. Go to him. He knows you. Go to him and just talk to him. And then listen, because he wants to talk back to you. He wants to commune with you. And then you need to get baptized, a water baptism. You need to find a local church where you can worship, fellowship, and serve with other Christians. So a local church where Christ is preached and where the Bible is the final authority. And guess what? Don't be selfish with this thing. If you've done this beautiful thing, the most important thing you would ever, ever do, then tell others about Christ. Tell others about Jesus. Tell others about this man and what he did for you, and that he's no respecter of persons, and he'll do the same for them. Don't be shy. Don't be timid. Tell others about Jesus. Go with God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your word that's gone forth. And we know through your word that you say when it goes forth, it will not return unto us void, turn unto you void, but it would go out and accomplish that which you have purposed for it to accomplish. So we thank you, Lord God, that those who have heard your word, the word in their hearts, Lord God, will meditate on the word, Lord God, will know without a shadow of a doubt, Lord God, that they are yours and you are theirs, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that your word has gone forth. And, Lord, we pray for any who have just accepted Christ. We pray for them, Lord God, that you will give them that wisdom that you talk about in first chapter of James. Give them that wisdom, Lord God, that they can reach out, Lord God, and know, Lord God, what to do in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity, another opportunity to serve you, Father. We give you the honor, we give you the glory, and we give you the praise, Father, because we know that it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank God. Amen. 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 Well, that's it for this evening. Just remember to tune in with us every last Tuesday of the month for His Abounding Grace under When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Thank you for listening in. God bless you. And look up expecting wonderful things to happen to you.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, Day's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Join us for our weekly broadcast. His Abounding Grace with Mr.